Thank you for joining me on today's Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. This is July the 20th, 2025, Sunday. I've been going over the Psalm 83 war, the Gaza war / regional war. This is part three. The Psalm 83 war begins the last decade before Christ's return. The details in Psalm 83 indicate or prove that we are, this psalm, the fulfillment, is a prophecy written by Asaph, King David's musician, 2,800 years ago, 2,900 years ago, looking into the future, seeing a time where Israel would be in conflict in the region. It wouldn't be an isolated war here with the Philistines or that the Moabites or the Ammonites or the Edomites or the Hivites or Hittites or etc. It is a war that would occur simultaneously in the region, north into Lebanon, along the coast, north of the Mediterranean, north of Egypt, would eventually move into Syria, and then into the nation of Jordan, and there will be some conflict with some of the peoples in southwest Saudi Arabia, I believe. It's a war against ancient family members and enemies of Israel going back to the time of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and Jacob, especially with Ishmael, Abraham's first son through Hagar. She would have children eventually apart from Ishmael, and they were called the Hagarites, the Egyptians. So it's a war with Egyptians and with family members. Then there would be Jacob's twin brother, Esau, and his family lineage, the Amalekites. It would be Esau's grandson, Amalek, I think. What was his name? Yeah, Amalek. So it would be a regional war. It would be a war that would Israel, in which Israel would be at war, you know, at regionally. I keep saying this. It could not occur until Israel had become a nation and had become powerful militarily. And this is exactly the scenario. In previous conflicts, the United States, the UN, Arab nations would always interfere with Israel's campaigns to protect herself from enemies in the region. But in this psalm, it's different, because this indicates no one is going to interfere, no nation, no one will interfere with Israel's campaign against all of these nations, family members, Esau, Edom, Ammon, Moab, the sons of Lot, Jacob's brother Esau, the Philistines, which are in the Gaza Strip, others in Lebanon. So no one would stop and interfere and bring a peace or a halt to this conflict. During the initial conflict that began October 7th, 2023, there in the Gaza Strip, the Gaza area, there had been many proposals, numerous peace plans, objectives to cause a ceasefire. Also, in Lebanon, many attempts to bring about a ceasefire, a halt to the Israel's bombing and just the conflict. Nope, there's no such thing as interference or a halting of any of Israel's plans to remove these ancient enemies from the area. Israel must protect itself, and this is exactly what is presented in this psalm. There have been hostilities from some of these family members going back 3,800 years. This psalm was written about 2,800, 2,900 years ago. Every family member and hostile nation mentioned have not to this day been punished. In the writings of Amos, in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, other prophets, there was a warning these nations would be at some point punished. And it would not be individually like the children of Moab, Lot's oldest boy, that Moab would be punished, and then Ammon would be punished, then Jacob's twin brother Esau would be punished, each in its time. No. This would be a collective punishment. This punishment would be viewed by the whole world because of our media, because of real-time media. The whole thought in this chapter is that everyone will see it, that the enemies would be punished openly, and that Israel would be victorious without any doubt. In the first, in part one, I began with verse one. This is a war against God Himself. It is not just against the Jewish people. It is a war against God. Do not be silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies are in a uproar. Those that hate you have raised their heads. This is a war against the God of Israel, Yahweh, the I Am that I Am. This is a war. It's very clear by Asaph. These nations or these family members, they are worshiping other gods. They are not worshiping the God of Israel. They all have their own deities, their own idols, their own gods that they worship. It's a war against God Himself. And Asaph is saying that don't hold your peace. Don't be silent. It's time for punishment. And this is exactly what the world is viewing. I know that so many of the nations are saying it's a genocide against the Arab people. They're not Palestinians. They're Arabs. Got to get that straight. These people come from Egypt. They come from Jordan. They come from the region. They're not Palestinians. The word Palestine didn't come into existence until the Rome, 2,000 years ago. These are Arab peoples from the surrounding areas. Then Asaph goes on to say that these enemies, they plan very sophisticated schemes and plans against the Jewish people. They visit, they have conferences, they in secret have meetings against Israel as a nation and against what Asaph says, precious ones. The precious ones are the ones that must live, must be protected from the 12 tribes of Israel, which there will be true genetic proof that they're still genetically perfect people from the tribe of Levi and all the other 11 tribes. The gene pool is still perfect. People don't believe that. Revelation chapter 7 proves that it's true. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, from Judah, etc. These are the precious ones in Israel. These are the people, the family members that need to be protected genetically from any bioweapon injections. They have to be protected from war, from being killed in battle. They can't go to war. They are not to be murdered on the streets of Israel or in Israel, because they must go into the millennial kingdom after my Messiah sets up his kingdom. These are the precious ones, the protected ones, the important ones. All of the Jewish people are important, but there are those that Asaph says they're hidden and they're precious. All of the family members of Israel are important. The collective is protecting those that must be alive to go into the millennial kingdom. So the verse 4, I'm going briefly over the whole chapter. These enemies say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. That is genocide. Right here in 4 of Psalms 83. Let us wipe them out as a nation. That is genocide. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's ethnic cleansing. They come up with these sophisticated phrases. Well, they're not that sophisticated, because it's right here in the Bible. Let the name of Israel be in remembrance no more. Ethnic cleanse every thought of the Jewish people, going all the way back to Christ, going back to David, going back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Eliminate their history, eliminate the whole culture, eliminate everything. That is ethnic cleansing. These in verse 5, they consult together. They're unified, and they make an agreement. They swear to against God. They consult against God, against the Jewish people. Then all the family members, the tents of Edom, Ishmaelites, Moabites, Hagrites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistines, inhabitants of Tyre, Assyria, meaning Syria, present-day Syria, who's going to help the children of Lot, Ammon, and Moab. And I believe this individual is this Muhammad he calls himself Ahmad al-Shara. That's his name now. I think he's the one that it will be the leader of the armies out of Syria that will eventually have conflict with Israel, which already began, is already happening. And al-Shara, I think, is the leader who is going to be destroyed and killed when the Damascus War occurs. Go back to part 1 and part 2. Verse 9, do to the Midianites what you did to Sisera, to Jabin, and Jabin at the brook of Kishron. Jabin's armies were destroyed, slaughtered in the fields, died in the fields. Sisera, the commander of the armies of Jabin, he ran and hid in a tent and had a stake put through his skull. And this is what the leaders that Israel has been taking out have been doing. They have been running and hiding in tents. They're not in the battlefield. They're far away from battle. They're in Lebanon, or they're in Syria, or they're in Iran, or they're in Oman. They're elsewhere. but Israel finds them. Then those who perished at Endor, they became like the manure for the earth. This is what has happened in the Gaza and in Lebanon. The soldiers died in the fields, and it says that they became like manure. They were just fertilizer for the ground. They never retrieved all the bodies. Then it says in verse 11, make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. Let all the princes of Zeba and Zalmunna, these were important people. And we've watched Israel take out many of these individuals that are very important. I'm trying to think of, for example, Ishmael Hania. He was hiding in his tent. Where did he die? I forgot. I think he died in Iran. But he was a politician, very important individual. He was taken out openly so the whole world could see. Psalm 83 says this will be viewed from the whole world in real time. It won't be hidden. It couldn't happen 100 years ago. Couldn't even happen 50 years ago. It couldn't happen in 1948. It had to happen when the media was so sophisticated that we could watch him die openly in the media, where he was staying, how the operation was carried out in a building. And then they admit it. And also, his sons, who were commanders in the conflict, they were taken out. His wife was taken out. His grandchildren were taken out. This is exactly what happens when you're at war with the Jewish people. It happened with Egypt, eventually Pharaoh, his son, the firstborn of Egypt, died the night of the Passover. You don't fool with the God of Israel. God is going to protect them. He promised he would. He's good to his word. He warned these peoples surrounding Israel in the region what was going to happen to them if they would take counsel to destroy, commit genocide and ethnic cleansing. Now, here's the good news. The people in the conflict area, at the end of Psalm 83, I'll get to it, God wants them to know He is real, or that He is God, and that they have hope if they stop their campaign. Again, the leaders that will be openly, they die in the open. There was Yahya Abraham Hassan Sinwar. He was a Palestinian militant. There's no Palestine. No such thing as a Palestinian. He's just an Arab. I think he's from Egypt. He served as the chairman for the Hamas political bureau. And a building was bombed. A drone went up to the second floor. There was an individual sitting in a chair. It was Yahya Sinwar. He had been wounded. The room had been blown up. And the drone took footage of him sitting there, and he picks up a cane and tries to hit the drone with it. And then he dies in that chair. There was another bomb sent in. So this is exactly what it says in this psalm. The psalm, again, begins the final 10 years before Christ returns. We're almost 2 years in. Then verse 12, they say, let us take possession for ourselves the pastures of God. In other words, these enemies, they want to completely remove, genocide the Jewish people, completely remove them, and take over the land. To completely, basically, they occupy the land with no trace of any Jewish individual or the history of Israel in that area. Let us take possession for ourselves of the pastures of God. Verse 13, Asaph says, O my God, make them like whirling dust, like stubble or chaff before the wind. And look at what Israel has done in the campaigns in the Gaza, just the Gaza. It is now leveled. There is nothing there. There's dust like stubble, chaff before the wind. Israel had to begin a strategy of, see, these people are moving like prairie dogs. You go into an area to try to remove the prairie dogs and they move to other areas. So in the north, you begin operations in the north, they go south. You begin operations in the south, the people, the Hamas terrorists, go back north. So what Israel has done is it is having to divide the north and the south so that the terrorists could not move north to south. Then Israel has been very successful in finding and locating these underground tunnels, these ways of conduits of travel. They've spent 20, 25 years building these tunnels. This is how sophisticated the plan was. So then Israel eventually, through a strategy, began to find where these terrorists were hiding, cowards that they are, amongst schools, hospitals, civilian areas, buildings, UN buildings, humanitarian buildings, and Israel, according to this psalm, God has commanded Israel to take them out. And it's through God bringing punishment through his people. Make them like the whirling dust, like stubble or chaff before the wind. As the fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze, pursue them, afflict them with your tempest, terrify them with your tornado or hurricane. This is what we have been viewing for the last almost 2 years, as exactly what Asaph had prayed is now has happened. Make them like the whirling dust, like stubble, chaff before the wind. Again, as fire, verse 14, as fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze. In other words, basically, simply, dear God, be thorough. Be thorough. Don't let these enemies escape your punishment, your judgment. Reveal yourself to them. Terrify them. They know that they're not fighting the Jewish people only. They are at war with you through their religion, the common denominator, Islam. Through that spirit of a religion of worship, which is a destructive, which is a religion of death, but it unifies them. Right now, with the conflict in Syria, which began about 10 days ago, this conflict is in Amos chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, with Syria and Damascus is in Amos chapter 1. A prophecy about the complete total destruction of Damascus, which has never happened to the present. It was prophesied by Amos that this city would be destroyed by fire, completely eliminated for all of the evil throughout thousands of years directed against the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Maybe not the nation of Israel, but the Jewish people while they were in their land, while they were beginning to take over the land given to them by God. Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the world. Eventually here, very shortly, I think, before the end of this year, sooner, Damascus, according to Amos, is going to be burned in fire, completely eliminated. In Psalm 83, it talks about the Assyrians. There's going to be war with Syria. And so there is reference to the Damascus war, or there's Damascus conflict with Israel and Syria. And I believe in this conflict, there might be the indicator that Damascus will be destroyed, but there's more clarity in the book of Amos chapter 1, I think it's verses 3 to like 6. Damascus worships the god of fire. That's the idol worship. They worship the god of fire. And it says that the leader of Damascus at the time of its destruction, it mentions that leader being destroyed too. The king or the leader. I think this individual is this Ahmad al-Sharah. And I believe this is the individual. He's right now, they don't know where he is. They think he's hiding. Well, he should be hiding because Israel targets the enemies, and they're supposed to, the leaders, the important people. But Sharah is going to probably be in one of the buildings in Damascus that is completely burned with fire. Then at the same time the conflict in Syria begins, it appears as if the conflict spills over into present-day Jordan. Israel is going to, through war, take over Jordan, the whole nation, top to bottom, as it butts up to Iraq, all the way down to where it ties into Saudi Arabia to the east, and I think to the far south. Israel is going to take that whole nation. You think people are screaming now, you just wait. But God said it's going to happen. Then it says here in verse 15, Psalm 83:15. So Lord, pursue and afflict them with your tempest. Terrify them with your tornado or hurricane. Whatever it is, look what Israel is doing from the air. It is unbelievable. Look what they're doing on the ground. Everywhere they travel, the dust. Everywhere they travel, there's just destruction behind. Because Israel has been knocking down all of the buildings that these terrorists have been able to hide in. Afflict them with your tempest, terrify them with your tornado or hurricane. Fill their faces with shame. The Arab nations have been saying that if they would together come against Israel, they could wipe Israel off the face of the earth. No. I've been saying for years on other previous programs that no matter what the Arab nations do, they collectively do not have a chance concerning any war with Israel. They don't have a chance. So I do want to say right now that my podcasts are archived on my website, thispresenttruth.com. Again, my website is thispresenttruth.com. And this program is the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Program. If you go to the website, you can go to the podcast section. I also host the This Present Truth Program, as well as the Olive Tree Program, and both are all programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. My contact information, if you want to write me, is P.O. Box Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 875, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And I'll go back to my thought that is with this war is a warning to all of the nations that God did say he would pick a people to represent him. Even though they would become apostate, though they would end up in idol worship, they would be in Satan worship, devil worship. There was one of the tribes, Dan, the tribe of Dan. Dan led the children of Israel into occult worship, sacrificing babies. You know, we all know the story. But Dan, the tribe that worshipped Satan, Baal, Molech, is not in the book of Revelation chapter 7. All the other family members are there, excluding Dan. And Dan was replaced by Manasseh. In the world today, Dan and the lineage of Dan are spread throughout the world. They are Jewish by lineage, and they do not consider themselves to be Jewish. They hate the Jewish people. They work against the Jewish people, their own people. They are in very powerful positions. I think Henry Kissinger, his lineage is from the lineage of Dan. Many of these bankers, people in the very powerful positions, it could be even Soros, if he's truly has the tags in the DNA, he would be from the tribe of Dan. Many of these that you see that are very powerful are from the tribe of Dan. They hate mankind. They hate God, the God of Israel. They are involved in secret societies. They have their allegiance is to the devil, in my view. And yes, there are those in Israel that are communists, fascists, socialists, devil worshipers. They're the Jewish people. I remember hearing about the October 7th. What was going on down there as I watched some of the video, this was pretty hedonistic what was going on down there. Could it be that maybe God was displeased with what was happening down there? And remember the sons of Korah. They rebelled against Moses and God's authority, and the earth opened up and swallowed them. Throughout history, the prophets have warned the children of Israel, when you begin or when they fall into idolatry, when they stray from their God, when they begin to do unimaginable evil, God punishes them. They're carried away to Babylon as a chastisement. They're scattered to the nations. They lose their land. They lose their identity. They don't have access to their temple. So I'm not blind. I know what the scripture says. And eventually the nation of Israel, they're going to win these battles. But up the road a ways, maybe a year, they're going to sign, make an agreement with a very powerful nation. And rather than look to their God to protect them, they're going to basically put their trust in man, in their trust in the nations, in their trust of America. They're going to make an agreement with the United States, I believe, in the fall of next year. And this begins the 7-year tribulation. I go through Psalm 83 as a warning to the Christian people specifically. I would ask you to have your Christian friends, if you're a believer, have them come to these three programs about Psalm 83 so they can maybe understand that we are in the 10-year period before Christ returns. We'll be 8 years in October. And then to October next year, we'll be 7 years in. Next year, before the tribulation begins, Russia and the armies with the Gog and Magog conflict in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that war must be concluded. I believe this year there's going to be the conclusion of Psalm 83. Damascus is going to be destroyed. Israel is going to again occupy or own or now have will take back the land that was promised Israel by God. For the Christians that understand Bible prophecy, there's an area called Petra. And Petra is in the Jordan. And it will be this area of Petra where the Jewish people at the time when the Antichrist is revealed openly, people will know who he is 3.5 years prior to that. But this area of southern Jordan is where the children of Israel, the Jewish people, have to flee to when the abomination of desolation declares himself to be God in the temple of God or in the temple in Israel. Tell your Christian friends these programs. I'm going now to do teachings on Psalm 83 because it's time sensitive, coming to an end. I'm doing these programs ahead of time so that you'll know what's coming, when what comes to pass. Then you can look back and say, wow, we are in the decade before Christ returns. Then I'm going to do the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war here. I have all these specific programs that I'm going to take care of. Donald Trump is in the Bible. He is the seventh king in Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. The riddle of the seven final presidents of the United States of America. Go to those programs. You can go to part one and part two of Donald Trump Enigma, Mystery, Problem, where I use the scripture to prove he's in the Bible, that America's in the Bible. The riddle is about the final seven presidents of the United States of America, and one of the seven will be the last president. It's not Donald Trump, he's number seven, but he's going to be followed by one of the previous six prior to Trump, and then I'm going to do a couple of programs on Donald Trump. This would be King Solomon's Stranger. There was the day of the dedication of the temple. King Solomon dedicated the temple at the end of his addressing the Jewish people. He talks about a stranger that will come to Israel and pray toward the temple. Donald Trump fulfilled that in 2017 when he went to Israel and prayed toward the temple. Donald Trump is the seventh king, the noble king, the honorable king, whether we want to believe it or not. He's the king of the seven, is the only one that has assisted the nation that he is the president over. And right now, we are seeing with this Epstein matter, I'll mention this. People are too emotionally involved in the Epstein matter in demanding justice. There will be no justice. There will not be any justice. The MAGA and the conservatives are making a big mistake in pushing for justice and pushing back against Donald Trump for not prosecuting these people. People don't understand. These people have an employer that protects them. The employer is the devil. And I do programs on this, and I'm going to do more specific teachings. These people, Epstein, Ghislaine, many of the people in the Democrat Party, most of them, they're employees of another king from another kingdom. And the conservatives are making a big mistake, demanding justice. They don't understand. From the biblical point of view, there's not going to be the justice that our Constitution, and they lean heavily on the Constitution. There should be punishment. These judges should indict these people. No. The Constitution, for the most part, is no longer, its battery life is gone. It is weak. These people don't care. We are in the time of lawlessness. We're in the season and going deeper into the season of a darkness like this country has never experienced. The season of lawlessness. We're beginning to catch the spirit of it presently. But it's not, it's just the beginning. Like when fall comes, you have autumn. Autumn begins, and week by week, eventually you go deeper into autumn, but it's always saying that winter's coming. And then eventually, winter comes. There's not going to be any justice in this Epstein matter. And the people that are conservatives, they're making a big mistake. By pushing back now against Donald Trump, the New World Order, the globalists, the devil worshipers of this country are now beginning to laugh because they're going to get their way. They're going to remove Donald Trump. And once he's removed, then the greatest hardships that have ever happened to this country will now be set in motion. But I want to go back. Should I go back to Psalm 83? I can finish, and then I can have a little dialogue before the program, this third part, is over. Fill their faces with shame, verse 16, that they may seek, that they may inquire for, and insistently require your name, O Lord. This is where the punishment leads. It always leads to this, seeking the Lord. It always leads to Once they have the shame, once the shame comes, then hopefully the seeking begins, the inquiring for begins, and that they will push in and really insist and require your name, O Lord, so that they know who the God of Israel is, and they will stop pushing at him. Their war is with him. You don't want to be at war with the God of Israel. As a nation, as a people, as a tribe, as a society, individually, you don't want to be at war with the God of Israel. You don't want to be at war with Yeshua God, Jesus God himself. You don't want to be at war with the Son of Almighty God. You don't want to be at war with Almighty God. You don't want to be at war with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you eternal life. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek, inquire for, and insistently require your name, O Lord. Verse 17, let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. These enemies of Israel in Islam, in the Muslim armies, these terrorist jihadists, Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, all of them, their foundation is Islam. Islam is at war with the God of Israel. It is not a religion of peace. It is a religion of death, of hate. It is an army. And Islam now, they've decided it is time now for Islam to rule the world. Europe, Far East, Africa, America, Canada. The great Islamic war against the nations has already begun. But here in the Middle East, Asaph is even praying, Lord, put them to shame, that they'll be dismayed forever. They are dismayed. Yes, let them be put to shame. And if they won't repent, let them perish. This is exactly what's happening. They won't stop. They have been deceived. And through this religion, they have been brainwashed, the children, the babies, brainwashed. And this type of spirit in a culture only means death and misery, or misery and death, eventually. Let them be put to shame and perish. He concludes with this. Asaph is singing. This is a song that he is singing. And while he's singing, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He concludes with, that they may know you, whose name is alone the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. This is what's happening in this conflict. God wants the world to know that he alone is the Lord. He alone is God. That he, as God, declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. He knew in the beginning, 2,800 years ago, and other prophecies going back 3,400 years ago, he knew the end. He had his prophets prophesy. And what they prophesied was written down, is now the Old Testament, about things to come in the future. We don't need a crystal ball. We don't need the military doing remote viewing projects to look into the future. I'm telling you the present from 2,800 years ago when this was written, what it said about July the 20th. Is it today the 20th? I have notes in front of me with different dates. Yes, it is the 20th, Sunday. So God was telling Asaph in a spiritual insight what would happen on the day of October 7th, 2023, and what would happen after that day, how the conflict and the enemies would become even more hostile, more dangerous, more evil. And he documents it. And then it begins in Gaza, but it becomes a area war, a regional war. And it's going to, the fire is going to cross the river into Jordan. We can't stop it. But God says here in verse 18, that they may know you, they may know that you, the world needs to know that the I am that I am, whose name alone is the Lord. He only is God. That he is the Most High over all the earth. This is just the beginning of the punishments that's coming to that area. In the next year, Israel, Russia, in the Russian War, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Russia now is being forced, like it says in Ezekiel 38, 39, that God is going to put hooks in the jaw of Russia and going to drag Russia and her armies into present-day Jordan. In other words, great resistance. There will be great resistance from Vladimir Putin. It's like a pulling a horse, and the horse has its back legs down and its front hoofs extended, digging in deep. These nations are going to be dragged south because their destruction is coming because of all that they have done throughout history against the Jewish people. That punishment is coming because of the evil against the Jewish people. America is going to be also brought to Armageddon. The armies of America are going to be brought to Armageddon for punishment too. Everybody gets punished. No one escapes God's righteous punishments. Nobody. Individually, we don't escape. I don't escape. You don't escape. Nobody escapes. It's better to yield than to be snapped in half. Better to be flexible with God when he's many people, God is speaking to them. He is trying to woo them. He's trying to succor them, trying to just reveal that he shouldn't be feared on one hand because he loves mankind. But on the other hand, he is God. Who is man to, who is mankind, or what man can say no to God when God created and allow that individual to come into existence? The Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. If I'm lifted up, mankind gets a clear view of who I am. I am merciful. He's not like the mercy of the Islam. That is not mercy. There's no mercy in Islam. It is a barbaric, it is a violent religion, a violent army, a violent political move. The whole world now, you look at the news every day, what's happening in Europe. The caliphates, like California. California is a caliphate. It's a caliphate of evil, evil individuals and families that have ruled that state, the greatest, most beautiful area of land in all the world, outside of Israel. A coastline, desert, mountains, unbelievable. A caliph, a caliphate of the wicked. And even Islamic Los Angeles, L.A., the city of angels. It is a city of angels, fallen angels. It is a stronghold of a fallen angel. The whole state is heavy for those spiritual people that understand what I'm saying. The spiritual powers in the air, these principalities and powers, they are very powerful. They don't protect. They bring about theft and suffering to the people in California. It's going to get worse. So Psalm 83, many details about what would happen in the decade before Christ returns. It triggered the final decade. The final decade was triggered again, October 7th, 2023. It was triggered. The feast time of 2033, Christ will be, Armageddon should already probably have been concluded. I think by late September 2033, God will be bringing the nations to judge, to his throne to judge the nations. Okay, well, this is the third part of the Gaza War / regional war, Psalm 83. Now I will go on to other prophecies. But tell your friends that, you know, this present truth, my website, give them the website. Have them come to listen. Have them come to study. Take out your scripture. Look at it. Psalm 83, there are verses in Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Amos, all these other prophets that also give details about the nations in Psalm 83 and the enemies in Psalm 83. So, thispresenttruth.com for the Present Truth programs or for the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry radio programs. And they're archived again on thispresenttruth.com. My contact information for those that don't have internet or don't have they really like to stay hidden. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box. Everybody's hidden. We can't hide, but God does protect us. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And then, God bless you. God protect you. God keep you. May the Holy Spirit open your eyes and be upon you. May He give you an ear to hear, eyes to see, and may you sense the moving of His Spirit as He leads you into life, as He leads you into His maturing process. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you.